the internet. You're busy. Let's do this. Welcome to the Games Beat Decides podcast. This is the podcast where we decide everything about the world of video games so you don't have to think for yourself. I'm your host, Jeffrey Grubb. With me is
Mike Minotti, who's probably driving Jeff Grubb crazy because I'm futzing around with the screen for my microphone now. I didn't like
it. I was hoping that the reason you were late is because you were trying to do something about that this entire time. So
no.
No, of course not. Yeah,
I don't know. I could move it, but I don't know what effect that's going to have. I sound good, at least. I'm better heard, not seen. So.
Yeah, you sound wonderful. Not really. That's all I'm asking for in life. So that works for me. Today's episode, news and games. We got a lot to talk about. I didn't write a ton of news stories down. I feel like so much happened, and yet I only wrote a few things down, so I'm sure I'm forgetting something. So, Mike, you'll have to remind me.
I added one thing I could think of already, so I'm covering for your competence a bit.
Thank you. I mean, that's why we pay you. That's what you're here for. All right, we'll get to all that very soon. Got a lot of questions, mostly to do with the Xbox Series X. I'll talk about that in like the what we've been playing section, and I'll answer all those questions then. But first, thank you for joining us. You can get more from me and Mike at gamesbeat.com. If you have something to share with us, email the podcast at gamesplus@venturebeat.com. That's the plus sign. Thank you to Carlos Ayen, who is Insane in the Rain Music on YouTube, for the use of our theme song. And if you are listening to this on the website player widget, or you're watching on YouTube or you know, some other way, you can get the audio version of the show through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere where pods are caught. And if you like the show, rate us wherever you're listening or on YouTube, give us that thumbs up. It helps people find the show. All right, Michael.
Yo.
How's it going?
You know, not bad. Nothing interesting or of note happening in the world.
Yeah,
everything's chill.
You know what? I was thinking today. I woke up this morning. I feel healthy. I feel nice and healthy.
Oh my god!
I feel good about myself. And wearing my mask when I go out. That's been helping me out a lot.
Yeah, you wear the biggest mask I've ever seen.
Yeah,
even if I'm bigger, the better.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes, but yeah, you know, in video games still happening despite everything else. So,
and you know what? They're happening more than ever. I'm finding for me personally, it's like been a thing where it's like. I have really just thrown myself into like getting this Xbox and being like, this is a really great distraction. So
there you go.
Yeah. But there were other distractions this week, and they were big enough to make our news cut here. Starting with there's a lot of Mike stories this week. This one's Super Smash Brothers got a new character.
It sure did.
You want to tell me about this? What happened?
Yeah, it's I mean, you know, it's like I think like just the day before they're like, hey, we're announcing a new character tomorrow. And they even said it's like a 3-minute video. So once again, like they're very anti-directs now. Right. It's just here's like the single piece of news coming in its own video. And it's this short, cute little cartoon that introduces Steve from Minecraft. And like he has like other skins that make him other characters like the kind of generic female Minecraft character, I guess, is Alex. There's some kind of zombie and an Enderman, but Minecraft Steve, I guess, is what you would call the new character. And it's very Minecrafty. I mean, he looks like that little Minecraft guy you probably have seen before. He has a pickaxe. He's dynamite. He can even like summon a crafting table and get a sword out of it. There's a Minecraft level, Minecraft music. This is the next character. There's no release date yet. I believe tomorrow on Saturday, there's going to be like a longer, more in-depth video about his moveset. Maybe they'll say a release date then. I don't know, but
yeah, I mean,
it's interesting because I mean, this was one that everybody had kind of been guessing for a while, ever since, I mean, in the Wii U, which did not have very many, like, you know, things that it could chalk up as good things. Minecraft was a big hit on that system, and it's continued to be like pretty popular on Nintendo platforms, so it always made some sense. And Minecraft is also like the best selling game ever, so yeah, it's not a super shock. It is like still a little weird for, you know, it is Microsoft, but we already have Banjo-Kazooie, so it's not that shocking. And it is this third-party thing that is very different from, like, you know, getting Mega Man or Simon Belmont in there. It's like, oh, yeah, these classic Nintendo things. Now, here's just, like, you know, the Minecraft guy. It's pretty nuts. But also not that crazy, and he'll fit in just fine.
Yeah, I think... I didn't watch it, but then I kind of gathered everything afterwards. It was fun to see like Sakurai saying stuff like, Nintendo came to me and told me to do this. And he was like, what, do you think this stuff just happens by magic? It's like so much work to actually make these things work. And he had to like figure out how to get the block system to work and all the levels. But it seems like, you know, from the videos I did see, it looks like the character makes a lot of sense in the Smash Brothers game. And I, to me, it's like, oh yeah, that it's almost a surprise he wasn't in there already. But the fan response was probably mixed, right?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Not really, if you ask me, to be honest. I think it was mostly, I don't know, positive is the word. I don't think anybody was that upset. Of course, you're going to find some people, right, and those opinions are going to be blasted. But from what I'm seeing, I don't think anybody was, one, really all that surprised, or two, really that upset. I mean, there's always going to be people who, like, you know, they very specifically want one character in there, right? Like, they want Sora from Kingdom Hearts, or they're me and they want Geno from, you know, Mario RPG, and they're going to be upset about any of these things. But no, I don't think it was anything like a controversy or anything like that.
Right. To me, it's like, okay, this is just one of those things that probably was inevitable, and you know, more signs that them and that Microsoft and Nintendo are getting along really well. And Minecraft's going to just continue to be its own thing.
I tell you what, this is going to sell more of those fighter passes than the last character did, which was
Min Min.
I was like blanking on it. Yeah, Min Min from ARMS. Yeah.
Man, you think the ARMS doesn't have the same sort of pull as Minecraft, you don't think?
Yeah, not so. Fancy Thinker fans saying people were very surprised. That wasn't my perception. I don't think I think there was some surprise, but, like, you know, I think people were like a little surprised they actually did it. I don't think it was a giant megaton. Again, like, this was, people have been predicting Minecraft Steve or throwing him into, like, their leaks for like 10 years now or whatever. It's, you know,
right.
This was, if you had asked me, do you think the guy from Minecraft's going to be in Fighter Pass 2, which had 6 characters, I would have said yes. I could totally see that happening. So,
yeah,
I don't think I think it's neat. I think it's cool. And I do think maybe not surprising. It's like shocking, right? I guess is the difference, where it's like, yeah, I could totally see how it's happening. But when you see it happen, it is still just like, whoa, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. I guess it's hard to know where they go from here still. But I guess I said that last time, too.
There's still plenty of things. I mean, they could still get to Bethesda, or, well, I guess that's Microsoft now, too, right? And be like, hey, we want Dovahkiin in here, or... There's still plenty of Nintendo deep cuts, or even not even that deep cuts. Like, you know, I'm surprised Paper Mario just isn't a character yet.
Yeah.
Things like that. So, at this point, because the third party gate is open, there's so many people they can, like, pick from now. It's just whoever they want. So I'm sure they won't have too hard of a time finding 4 more characters.
Yeah. The next story, it was a weird one. Peter Parker is going to have a different face in Spider-Man Remastered for some reason. I think the stated reason is that it's a better match to the facial movement capture that they did with the actor, who is a different person than the person who is the face of Peter Parker. It's confusing, guys. What am I going to do?
It's not a satisfactory answer. Yeah. Like, so, yeah, basically so there's a voice actor for Peter Parker, and then there's, like, the guy whose face they use. It's not even, they don't even use this motion capture. Like, they use the motion capture from the voice actor, but they just hired a guy, and they're like, we're going to use your face. Pardon me, Satomi, they have computers that can make whatever face they want, but that's okay. You know, that's fine. But so they're switching the face now, supposedly only because, like, the other guy looks more like the voice actor. So it's easier to, like, translate his facial capture to this face. Which is weird, like, that nobody ever, like, played Spider-Man. It's like, man, it's just too bad how, like, you know, Peter Parker's face performance is weird. Doesn't look like it matches. Yeah.
There's bad never face. That was not, yeah, that was all, on every review, just bad face.
Yeah, there's never anything about that. Face. And it's weird, like, yeah, this, you know, we knew they were getting remastered for PlayStation 5, but, like, this is a big, kind of jarring change. I can't remember a time that a game just changed. It's basically recast its main character 2 years after it came out, at least like a big story game like this. And like, there has to be something about contracts and money, something about how they wanted to, like, use that guy's. They wanted to have, you know, Peter Parker and Miles Morales or Spider-Man 2, like, in the future. And for some reason, the original contract was, like, vague about, like, terms for sequels and stuff. And there was negotiations that I just find it hard to believe that all of that effort was put into this for the reason that they gave. And but even just aside from, I don't like it. I mean, it's not this big thing that I'm angry about or gonna, like, you know make a mountain to die on, but it's weird, right?
It's funny more than anything else. It's like, you could, because I think you're right, it's probably contractual, and it's just like, and those things are inherently absurd. I think it's part of the reason why we are being asked to pay for this game again, probably because, like, Marvel and Disney like, wait, what, you're going to do what now? You're going to just give the game away to other people again, or get to the same people? Like, no, you need to charge for it. Like, that wasn't in our contract. And so it's like, it's pretty absurd that, like, the way that we have to, like, dance around all of these weird things that we don't know for sure because the contracts are secret. But it seems pretty obvious that they are dictating the way this, these things all happen. And so it's just silly and weird. Right. And
like,
yeah,
I beat Spider-Man. I liked that game a lot. And I liked Peter Parker in the game. And now it's like, oh, it's certainly kind of breaks the illusion a bit. Right. Like, and I know I'm playing a video game, but when the main character just has a new face, like, all I can see is just like, you know, the skeletal structure of making a game, right? Like, oh, right. Someone pushed some buttons and replaced the person's face. Like, that's weird.
And video games are different than movies, but more movies are using digital characters than ever. And I think it would be like almost a scandal in Hollywood if, like, you took one actor's face and then deleted it and replaced it with a different actor's face.
There's been things like that, like, you know, the Empire Strikes Back remake where they replaced that old emperor with a new one. But, like, imagine if they did that on the scale of the main character.
Right. Right? Yeah, like, exactly.
It's bizarre and it's weird. And yeah, you're right. If this was like a movie thing and it was on that scale, like, it would kind of be outrageous. And because people would think of, like, they would say this is bad art, right? And I don't know if I want to say, like, get into our game's art thing. But when you do something like just change the main character's face 2 years afterwards, I feel like that's a strike against the games as art.
Yeah, it's definitely strange. I bet this won't be the last time we ever see it, but yeah, it's weird. Mm-hmm. That said, I think if the face looks good.
If that was the face from the beginning, I would.
Oh yeah.
I don't even like. I know it looks a bit more like Tom Holland. I don't think that's why it was done, really. But, you know, if this was always the face, it's fine. It's just the fact that there is a dramatic change. It's not like I loved the old face that much. Like, how, same. You know, like, oh, it was so beautiful. I can't believe I'm never going to see it again. It's just the fact that there is this big change is weird.
I didn't have it on the list here, but I meant to. So it's one of the things that I forgot, but chat was bringing it up. The Cyberpunk crunch story, which I guess it goes something like this. Earlier this year, the Cyberpunk management made the CD Projekt Red management made a big deal about how they were never going to have mandatory crunch. Now, that doesn't mean no one was crunching. I bet a lot of people are spending a lot of time there and it's voluntary, but that's a complex and nuanced thing. And sometimes people really feel the need to crunch. When I did the Xbox Series X preview over the weekend, I was crunching. And I'm glad I had the freedom to do that. And no one told me I had to stop because I really wanted to get that done. Now it is mandatory and at CD Projekt Red, and it's going to last for a week. I think they said
They're working every Saturday for the next few weeks is what it is. Right.
For the next 6 weeks or so, something like that. Yeah. There's no choice there. At least, you know, the management isn't giving them a choice. It seems like the obvious choice would be, well, delay the game again if it's not ready. But I don't know. The response to this has been mostly, I think, that CD Projekt Red clearly is going back on its word. And it is, as gamers, it's hard not to feel like sort of complicit in this stuff, because, like, we do want these things and we want them to be really good. And we want them to be bigger and better than ever. And you begin to tell us a date, and then we get all excited for that date, and we start making plans around it. Like, some people take time off work. And then these companies feel like they can't delay because they got us all excited, and they know how we can be sometimes when you know, you pull the rug out from underneath us. But that said, I don't know. I think that they should probably just push the game back a couple of weeks if that's what it takes.
Yeah, but again, you know, we always hear, like, delays don't stop the crunch. It's just going to be 3 more weeks of crunch, right?
Right.
There's something very fundamental that's the issue there, and we all know that, and who knows what it's going to take. I mean, I think a lot of us do know, and it probably starts with a U and ends at an N, but who knows when that's coming. But the weird thing here is that CD Projekt Red, like, did have that big point of, we're not doing crunch. And they said that defensively because there are already, like, accusations of it with Witcher 3. So they said that, oh, this time it won't be like that, so you'll see. And now, of course it is, right?
Yeah,
like, this game, this giant game has been getting delayed a bunch, like, already. So, of course, this final push is going to be crazy. So it's almost not surprising for that. The other weird thing is, like, some of the I don't know, like the bootlickers who are just coming out and being like, these people should be honored that they get to work extra hard to have their names attached to something meaningful in this world. It's like, all right, maybe they could do that and also like not work every Saturday. Like there's got to be some in between room here. But yeah, like just some of the takes are weird. And like, you know, everyone has to work a little bit extra sometimes. I know that we do, but if you think that it's not like a specific, like an especially bad problem in the gaming industry, I think you're just a little nuts or blinding yourself for whatever reason. And like sometimes people think it's jealousy because everyone imagines that working in video games is the greatest thing, like greatest thing ever. That's what a lot of people say. Like, can you imagine like how it must feel to be working at the Burger King and seeing the video game people complaining about this, as if like, you know, being a video game developer suddenly means that, you know, you're living in Elysium and your life is fantastic. Right. And like, I don't know.
And it's not like people don't complain about minimum wage jobs. Like it's like a huge part of the platform of the left in most countries is improving wages and time off. And like, we don't have paid time off in the United States. And this is a huge political issue. We talk about these things across all kinds of different industries. It's not just video games. Real quick, super chat from Pablo L in the chat, $4.99. I appreciate that, Pablo. That's means a lot. He followed up with keep up the good work. Thank you, Pablo. We appreciate
it. Hey, that's great. Yeah. I'm going to phone it in, though, just to show you that you're not the boss of me. My work's going to get significantly less good now.
Yeah, this is going to be a real lazy podcast, I think. Sorry, Pablo. That's just how it's going to be sometimes. But look, I think crunch is nuanced. I do want to have the option personally to decide sometimes to work all night on a big project because that it's actually how I work best. I don't ever want someone to come and tell me that I have to work all night, though. I never want that to happen. If someone were to come and tell me that you got to get this done or else, or you have to come in on Saturday or else. When we do that kind of stuff, like Mike, we've done it a lot in our jobs here. It is like, I think it's out of a sense of wanting to be good at the job, wanting to do it. And kind of, you know, it's about wanting to do what's best for the readers a lot of time. And I think to a certain extent, that's okay. There's pressures involved there that we are dealing with. And it's a nuanced issue. It's not all positive. It's not like I'm saying it's a good thing that I want to do what's best for the readers. There needs to be some balance there. But the balance comes in where like we recognize when we are doing this extra work and we just take that time off on the other end or something. I think management coming in and expecting you to do a lot of extra work, that is maybe crossing a line, probably crossing a line. And that's where this, I think, has become an issue.
Right. And I see we got another super tip here from Eddie Player One. Says, I work on the software development business. There are times we got to deliver the projects on time, no matter what, including working 13 hours per day. And yeah, I think that's the case, again, for a lot of people. And I know, especially on the software side, it does work like that sometimes. But I think that is still up for criticism, right? I think we're still up to look into this. And again, in this specific instance, they said they weren't going to do the thing, and then they did it. And to be clear, like, work, you know, ask people to come in and work on Saturdays, that's not on the worst end of the spectrum as far as crunch horror stories go, I guess. But you know, it still raises an eyebrow, and you still, you know, wonder how everybody there feels about it. I'm not telling everybody that you have to go and boycott Cyberpunk 2077 now, right?
Yeah, and it's I think part of the conversation is like, well, how are you going to handle this as a company going forward? Can it be better? Like, if we had never had conversations about crunch, there would have been a lot more mandatory crunch at this company up to this point,
right?
Because they would have just never felt like, oh, we don't have to worry about that.
I know some. I guess some. You know, some people are just going to be sick of hearing about anything that gets talked about a lot like this, but I think you would have a hard time convincing me that good has not come out of like all this anti-crunch sentiment. Like it's not like games have gotten worse or anything,
right?
Then so I don't know why to be upset about it.
Right. It's like, yeah, weekends used to not exist, and then the unions complained about it a lot. We got weekends, and now everyone just takes those for granted. But it's like that's something that came about from the exact same conversations we're having now, and I don't think we expect anyone to change overnight. I do think that incremental change on subjects like this is actually the solution. Not the solution, but it's the only obvious pathway where we can
only slowly make improvements over time.
Exactly. And it's it's the process working. And it seems like it might still be making changes, and there's going to be slidebacks like this, but hopefully it continues to get better for everyone doing labor in any field. Okay. So quick story, EA Play is joining Game Pass Ultimate on November 10th. So we knew that it was already joining. We just didn't have a date. So now on November 10th, when the Xbox Series X and Series S launch, that day you will be able to get EA Play as part of your Game Pass Ultimate subscription. I don't know. I know you get a lot of free games because of the job, Mike, but would this kind of like beef up the idea of subscribing?
I mean, again, like for me personally, maybe not necessarily, but I think for a lot of people, absolutely. I mean, just immediately, that's Star Wars Squadrons now, right?
Yeah. Well, so no. So
no?
This is the baseline version of EA Play. It's not EA Play.
Early Access. Platinum, or access, whatever it is. EA Play Access.
So you get... it's, I can't remember what they call it, but like there's two tiers. This is the $5 tier where you get 10 hours, I think, of Squadrons. But then after that, you have to pay for it. Or if you have the EA Platinum one, it's all game releases day one.
What is in here? Is Madden in here? Is FIFA?
It's like Vault Games, and it's like, okay, after a few months or maybe like a year, they put like last year's Madden's in there. Yeah.
Is Mirror's Edge 1 in there? Because then I pay $50 a year just for that.
I pay
much more than it's worth just to own, to rent it for $50 a year.
Yeah. It seems like a pretty good deal. I mean, there's a ton of games in there in that vault now. So it seems like a good deal to me. What is not necessarily a good deal is the way that the save system is going to work between PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. So saves from Yakuza Like a Dragon and Dirt 5 won't carry over from PS4 to PS5 if you get the upgraded version. The developers of each game have said this. I think they both said that it might change, but right now that's how it works. And this is different than Xbox, where the saves will transfer. What is going on, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what we always thought with this stuff, that Microsoft was going to kind of have an advantage here when it just comes to the sort of all that kind of interaction between one generation to the next in terms of backward compatibility, in terms of stuff like this, transferring saves. It's confusing that it's not easier for PlayStation, right? This, because, like, I mean, I know right now, like, I'm playing a ton of Marvel's Avengers on PlayStation 4 with my brothers, and we all wanted to play there because we know that's where Spider-Man's going. And, like, I think we're all kind of, like, a little nervous. Like, hey, like, what's happening when the PlayStation 5, comes out? Like, is that going to be real easy?
So that brings up a question from that we got on Twitter from Jake Bogdanoff. He said, is there any clarity on the issue of PS4, PS5 saves? Is a game like Yakuza going to be the standard with Miles as the exception, or vice versa?
And that's Miles Morales,
which does have the save transfer, so it can happen.
And it's the frustrating thing, right? It's like, it's case by case, I guess. Like, I don't know. And like in Avengers, I'm like, what's the case? Because, like, I'll be honest, like, I don't think I'm going to be touching my PlayStation 4 once the PlayStation 5 is gone. If that means, like, I guess I'm not playing Avengers anymore, if I have to restart that game, which is just not feasible, right? Like, probably 100 hours put into that at this point. Like, I'm not going to start over and play that campaign again and max out Captain America again. So, yeah, like, that's just that in that case. And, there's just a lot of things like that. I mean, Yakuza, a big RPG, like, no one wants to start that over. So, it's bizarre.
Yeah, and it just seems like... something got lost there in translation. Someone just dropped the ball, because there's no like business reason not to do this, right? Like, because having to buy the upgrades if that's how you're going to sell it. So
it has to be a tech. Like, why would you not? Like, we can make more money if they have to restart the upgrades.
Right.
It's just going to disincentivize people from wanting to do it, right? So it's got to be a tech thing, but it's hard to imagine it's a tech thing without a solution, or at least without like a viable solution they could have come to by now.
Right. I would imagine that this is going to be part of these early growing pains where we're going from one console generation to the next. And, eventually just the cross-gen games just will stop coming out. But my hope would be that Sony just kind of clears this up pretty quickly. And I think 6 months from now, we don't even remember that this was an issue.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of, part of me imagines it's going to be a mess. But again, we are going to be past these cross-gen games quickly enough that it's not going to matter for too long. And they're going to get out the other side of it, but they're going to take a small beating on it for a bit.
Yep. All right, Mike, tell me about World of Warcraft. Then we're going to take a quick break, do questions, and then we'll talk about Xbox. Let's do World of Warcraft.
Yeah, Shadowlands was supposed to come out this month. I can't remember the exact name now. Maybe October 13th. So this is the new expansion. And typically before the expansion comes out, like a few weeks or a month, there's a pre-patch, which adds some of the new features and a lot of like the class changes and stuff like that, but just doesn't literally add in like the new expansion zones and like the new level cap and stuff like that. And everybody's kind of like, oh, where's the pre-patch at? Like, shouldn't it be out by now? And people were kind of like, is the game getting delayed? And some people are like, Blizzard hasn't delayed an expansion since the Burning Crusade, which was the first one. So there's no way they do that, even if they should. But then yesterday, they finally straight up came out and said, no, yeah, it's delayed till later this year. Doesn't even have a date yet. They did say when the pre-patch is coming out, and it's in a couple weeks or so. So they blamed it on end-game tuning, which can mean a lot of things. Apparently, some of the raid bosses in the first raid are kind of a mess right now, and they need fixed. It's hard to imagine that's the only reason you would delay an expansion launch like this. Like, there are some other issues that I've been hearing about with kind of the balancing of some of these new abilities and the way you're... World of Warcraft keeps doing this thing up with kind of borrowed abilities where you can make a decision that's both cosmetic and gives you abilities. And it's kind of frustrating because maybe you like the cosmetic of one, but the other choice is just more powerful. And apparently like some of these choices, like they're like 50% more powerful than the other one. So the balancing is kind of all over the place on that front. So yeah, there's things that they need to do, it seems like, and at least they are delaying because everybody thinks that the last expansion Battle for Azeroth right. probably came out way earlier than it should have. So, yeah.
That was like a poorly received expansion, right?
Yes. Overall. In general, yes, it was. So,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, still though, like a lot of the problems with BFA were fundamental design issues. And if those are going to be problems with Shadowlands,
right.
a delay of 2 months, not gonna help. Not necessarily. Like a delay is going to be able to help with tuning and some stuff like that. But otherwise, I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. Well, at least you got the answers there. So I guess, you know, have to wait and see. But eventually I expect you to kind of come back and tell me whether or not they, if it's sort of a situation where they can, to me, when we talk about this in the past, it sounded like there was a tempo where one was good and one was, the next one was okay. And
yeah.
the next one was good.
Yeah. It has been like that for a bit. Like two expansions ago, Legion was really good. So yeah, I think people are more optimistic about Shadowlands than they were about, or, like Warlords of Draenor or for Battle for Azeroth, but it's hard to say.
Yeah,
things are not that they're complicated games.
Like a boring idea overall. It just seemed like a bad one,
right? Well, it's so weird playing Final Fantasy 14 right now because they base like when they make a new expansion, it's just kind of here's more content. They aren't necessarily reinventing themselves every time or adding these like big new gameplay features that are really only like a factor for that single expansion. Which makes playing through Final Fantasy 14 like what years later, like you know, still good. Whereas World of Warcraft, like every expansion is introducing all these new features and borrowed abilities and things that, you know, get deactivated when the next expansion comes out. So I don't know. There's something fundamental that is wrong about World of Warcraft right now that I don't know if they're going to fix. And they can work around that to still make a good expansion, but I would like to see bigger changes someday.
Fair enough. All right, Mike, we're going to do a quick break here for the podcast listeners, the audio podcast listeners, and we'll be right back with questions. Okay. Mike, I got some questions. There's a few like general questions, a couple here that I want to ask you specifically. Then we got a lot for Xbox, but I'll talk about that when we get into the Xbox deeper. So let's get started here. What's the first one I wanted to add? Oh, here's a good one for Mike Minotti. This is from @FangsTheWolf on Twitter. What happened to the Epic Mickey remaster that was heavily rumored back in June and even had merchandise leak out for it?
Maybe somebody thought better of it. I mean, yeah, I haven't heard much about that. And man, I have a history of Epic Mickey. That was my first press event as a video game journalist, as a budding intern for Bitmob. I got to go to Disneyland, and if you know anything about me, I like Disney, I like video games, and I was like this wide-eyed early 20-year-old who was sent to Disneyland on his, I don't think I've ever traveled by myself before that, so I was sent to Disneyland, like was at the Disneyland Hotel, like now we don't accept hotels from people, right? But this was the smaller thing, we didn't have these kind of policies, so I was at the Disneyland Hotel. It was back when that new Tron movie was coming out, so there was like the Tron party that they would have at California Adventure every night. And that night it was just for us. They had the demo stations for Epic Mickey set up in next to the theater where they do the Mr. Lincoln show. So
clearly the best part about Epic Mickey for you was this event.
Oh yeah. There are a lot of things like that. Like Fallout 76, the game, terrible. Fallout 76, the event, quite fun. I recommend it. But that's the thing though. Like I was really excited for Epic Mickey at the time. Like, cause I was like, oh my God, I love Mickey Mouse. Like they're doing this kind of like dark take on it and Warren Spector's involved. Wow, this is gonna be great. Not that good. Not a very good game. And that's why I was always like skeptical of this, of these rumors, even with that, the evidence of the merchandise, like, man, who is that really a thing that a lot of people want right now? Is Epic Mickey remastered? I mean, unless it was one of the remasters where they can kind of go in and fix some things, maybe, but I don't know. I would not be shocked if it's something that never sees the light of day.
This one's from Ice Pick Danza. How are early multi-platform deals typically done? In regards to Starfield, do you think it's already inked for PlayStation and Microsoft has to honor that? Or do you think Microsoft can make its ecosystem, make it ecosystem exclusive without breaking an existing agreement? I bet Starfield did not actually get, because they like, that sounds like something that would have got disrupted by the Microsoft deal. And when that went ahead, I'm sure.
The report at the time said that they were in talks for that. They never said a deal was finalized. So, no, I don't think, don't expect to see Starfield as a PlayStation exclusive, if on PlayStation at all.
Yeah. And then how do these deals typically happen? I don't think there's any typical way. I think it's going to be a case-by-case basis. It's always going to be different depending on the studio making it, the publisher, like who's paying for the games or whatever. I imagine like the reasons we saw a couple from Bethesda is just Bethesda's like looking for ways to make sure that they got some guaranteed money from some of these games that they know are quality and they know would look good on a roster of like, oh, here are some games coming to the PlayStation 5 early on, but might not have the big wide audience that you would hope for that would actually.
So you think in that case, Bethesda reached out to Sony?
I think probably. I think there was probably always some like, I'm sure Sony made it clear that they had money and were ready to spend, but I bet Bethesda was like, yeah, walking right up to that table to make sure that they could sit down and start those conversations. But yeah, it's going to be different for every company. Here's another one for you, Mike, because I've answered this one a bunch in the like the last couple of months, and I don't think I've ever heard you.
Better not be about Mass Effect, because I don't know.
How did you get into the industry, and do you have any advice on how to get started in games journalism?
Oh, gosh. This is funny. We were talking about this, but yeah, Bitmob, which was a kind of this smaller indie gaming news site might not even be right, but
It was a blog site,
and it was started by ex-EGM people like Dan Chu and Damian Lin. And the idea was that it had this system for user-submitted stories, so anybody could write on it, and they would feature like the best ones and give it a professional edit. And they also had a few interns, and I had gotten a few stories featured there, mostly because I had a gimmick, right? If you can't be good at something, you need to get a gimmick. And my gimmick was that I didn't just post screenshots. I drew my own screenshots, and they were very bad, like basically stick figures. But it was, I guess, funny. So that got, you know, me noticed. And after that, I was like, okay, I want to be an intern now. So I just emailed them every day for, I think, like a month or so. I emailed Dan and Damian every single day for a month. And then, you know, I mean, persistence counts for something, right? Like that, everybody's always going to want people who are really interested in doing something like that. You know, I was respectful about it. Like, I didn't write these long things, and I wasn't trying to be obnoxious about it. Like, I knew it was kind of funny and silly, you know, and I played into it. But I think I started like a WordPress blog called Give Mike Minotti a Gaming Journalism Job and stuff like that. So, and eventually I just, you know, I got the email and they're like, hey, yeah, we want you to be an intern. And, you know, like that was, yeah, that, man, I still remember that day. That was exciting news back then. Because I think like a lot of people, I thought that was the end all be all. And it was in a ways. I got, you know, like a year after that, I'm in Disneyland covering Epic Mickey. And,
right, yeah.
My big dream for a long time was just going to an E3. And I've been to like 8 or 9 E3s now. And it's fantastic. But yeah, I think big takeaways. Because like I was not good for a very long time. I was very bad, right? Like we're all bad when we start out. So find a hook at least, you know, gimmick if you want to call it. But find something that makes yourself unique. And then persistence. And persistence can mean, you know, sometimes mean bugging people for opportunities. And then once you're there, it means keeping at it, even when there's days you don't feel good. Like there are days when my work was not good. And I don't want to say I was chewed out, but like, you know, I've had talks like, hey, man, your copy's not very good. And you have a lot of these mistakes and typos. And, you know, I saw a lot of people get discouraged by that and leave and just stop. And, yeah, you kind of have to work through it, swallow your pride a bit, and just keep going at it till being good is first something you have to work very hard at. Then eventually it becomes a bit easier to be good. Yeah. Get good, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Good advice. Always great advice. I won't go over my whole history, but my thing here was always look around and find the other people who are trying to do the thing you're trying to do and that kind of vibe with you pretty well. I think that's like me and Mike both were at Bitmob and we've kind of come up together, and it's like, you know, don't try to like fit yourself into a clique that already exists. The video game industry is small, covering, you know, the media side's very small. There's a tight knit, and those groups are already pretty closed off, and you're not going to be able to like just slide in and become one of the team, one of the, you know, the best friends or whatever. You need to look around and start the next clique and be the person that is reaching out and networking with other people that are similar to you. And as people around you start to like go up in the ranks, because they might be better writers than you are. I definitely had that happen with me. When they need help, they're going to think of you. And that's what happened. That's why I got called in the Bitmob. Brett Bates was like, you know, we did this podcast together. Oh, and yeah, Brett was like, hey, Jeff, you know, I know you wanted to write video game news and stuff. Can you come do that at Bitmob? And I had given up at this point. I didn't think this was ever going to happen. I'm like, oh yeah, sure, okay, I'll do that. And that only happened because I formed like a pretty small group of friends that were trying to all make it happen at the same time. So yeah, do that. That's my advice. Let's see, what other questions, and then we'll try to get to Xbox. How do you think Jim Ryan is handling the PS5 info rollout so far? What could be done to improve? That's from @ACDraymond on Twitter. I think it's okay. I mean, clearly, I think they're not as bad as the Xbox One was, not as bad as the PS3 was, but I don't think it's as good as the PS4 was. I think that there's too much confusion, a little bit of the hubris, but nothing as bad as they have.
And I know people were complaining, and I think rightfully so, how like their last big event, you know, it had a lot of like the info we wanted, but then like a lot of it was like hidden in a blog later. It's like, well, why didn't you just say that while you had our attention? So I think their message is a bit muddier than Microsoft's right now. I don't think it's, you know, so bad that it's going to have a giant impact or anything. But I mean, look, they sold out of pre-orders, right? They're going to probably sell very well. They have to be happier with their launch lineup for the next immediate while. I think they feel fine.
Yeah. And I think I never thought Jim Ryan was great for this job. I think he crushed it in Europe, because I think the PlayStation just has a history of crushing it in Europe. And he sort of got the job because of that. And that doesn't mean that he's bad at it, though. I don't think he's bad at it. I think the things that he's doing are a lot of the stuff that Sony fans want. Go out there, spend money, get big exclusives. Final Fantasy 16, he made that deal happen. That's a big deal. And that's the kind of stuff that make people excited to want to buy a PlayStation 5. So at the same time, like, he is the person that I think sticks his foot in his mouth and kind of says some stuff that occasionally are like headline worthy in terms of just being soda tone deaf. But he's making the company money, and the PlayStation 5 seems like a good piece of hardware, and they're going to have a lot of games. So how much can you really complain?
Anti-macro with a very nice, what is this called? A super chat or a super
chat? Super chat.
So Jeff Keighley has done a better job rolling out PS5 info than Jim Ryan. It's true. It is, but kind of
$5 Canadian for that. Thank you.
It is funny sometimes where it's like, you know, why is Jeff Keighley the one telling me these things? It'd be one thing, like getting scoops, but you do sometimes get the intention that they're like, Jeff, we want you to tell people this. Yeah. Like, well, that's, why don't you tell me? Why do you need a middleman? Like, you know, Jeff's nice, but
I don't get that. Yeah. I still don't get how any of that happened, but yeah, that is weird. All right, Mike. Let's go ahead and move on to what we've been playing. Should we talk about some of these games and then finish up with the Xbox, or should we do the Xbox up front?
Let's do this, because then we can, because I know people want to hear about Xbox, and we can basically do that till we tire out.
Okay,
so let's do these relatively quickly. Have you started Hades? I saw you on there.
Yes, I did. I like it a lot.
It's super fun. I finally completed a run through the other day, and then my very next run through I was also able to complete that one, which, and that's a kind of an important thing for me, is I think when I beat Dead Cells, I was like okay, I beat Dead Cells. This one, I think because there's more of like a story element to it, I am much more like, oh, I want to like keep beating this and keep seeing what happens and keep kind of raising the challenges and beat it with all the weapons and unlock, you know, more of the story content. So I'm really enjoying it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's It really does hammer that linearity of the story, even though it is a roguelite. And that is, I saw people talk about that. I heard you mention a little bit last week, and then kind of get in there and experiencing it. It's like, okay, I see why people who are like, who haven't even really ever liked a roguelite are getting into this, because the persistence of that narrative, it does a lot to kind of keep you going. I think when I first started, I expected to immediately fall in love with it, and that didn't happen. I was definitely like, well, this isn't as good as Dead Cell.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, I know. But I'm realizing, okay, I need to like just unlock more weapons and stuff like that, and actually find a build I like. And as soon as I got like a really good fist build, where I was dashing around and I had Poseidon's like wave thing,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, this is baller. This is incredible. They nailed this. It is,
yeah.
It is at least as good as Dead Cells, and then like, it's got some better stuff in here and there as well. So,
yeah, I had a really cool like critical strike like bow and arrow build on my last one that I beat. It was fun. And I mean, look, Dead Cells does some things better. I think the combat in Dead Cells is ultimately maybe a little bit more fun, but I you know, so many of like the presentation aspects of Hades are just so good that it kind of brings everything back up, like the story, the characters, the art, the sexy gods. I'm here for all of it.
I think you're absolutely right. You've played Star Wars Squadrons. I haven't had time to get in on that.
Yeah, just the first mission right before that. It is. I'll tell you what, it looks very good on my computer. And like I have a pretty good setup right now. It's getting a little old, I think, but
just a little. Yeah,
some games like still can like run and look amazing, and other games like struggle in weird places. Like this game, wow, it is singing. It just looks super nice, and I'm playing with that flight stick you gave me for Microsoft Flight Simulator, and that feels good.
Seems like a perfect game for that. Yes, so I'm like very excited to break that out. Right.
And then later I'm going to try it with VR. But I mean, it's just, I tell you what, it looks really good. It's super fun being in that cockpit. Like so far, I've really only flown in a basic TIE fighter. But yeah, it's just like, man, yeah, this is great. Like, this is everything that it needs to be. I'm flying around this cool little like space station, hunting down turrets, and then I'm hunting down like X-wings. It all looks really good. It's controlling really well because I have this flight stick. Like, I'm super excited to play more of it.
Yeah, I was gonna try it, but Super Mario 35 came out, and so I was playing that instead. Have you touched this at all?
I have. I played it a bit, and this might be an opposite Hades situation because, like, I don't dislike it. I do like it. The part of the problem is that I play my Switch almost exclusively in like the hour or two before I fall asleep, and this is not good for that because I am getting tense as hell. I think I also got frustrated because like the one point I got really far. And there's like a few people left, and like I had like 400 seconds on my clock, and I'm like, should I like keep going? Should I just stand still because it's safe? And then like I was like, no, I guess I'm supposed to keep playing, right? So then of course I kept playing and just like fell into some lava at some point. Then I was like, man, it's like inaction would have served me better, and maybe it wouldn't have, but that's how I perceived
it.
And
I got no. I think that I thought that same thing as well. Once it gets down to like two people, I think the clock starts going really fast, so that those 400 seconds would melt away. The other person could start standing still too. I guess if they have a lot less, the thing is you don't know how much time they have. If they have more time than you.
I guess I was assuming because at that point it was more time than I'd ever seen myself have. I'm like, this is an astronomical amount and I'm a god to have this much time. Look, why would I throw away this gift?
We don't have to go into the strategies yet because I think I'm still developing them, but, Yeah, because like you know, it works like Tetris 99, where you're attacking the other person by sending stuff to them. But every time you send something to them, if they start killing that stuff real easily, they're just stacking more time on top of themselves. And if the other person is moving ahead, even if they don't have as much time as you, if they're moving ahead, they're adding more time onto the thing,
more and more time, more getting more coins, and
yeah. Right, exactly. And so you don't want to like put yourself in too bad of a strategic position, but you can slow down. I think slowing down when you have a lot of time, especially if there's a lot of people targeting you. I think that's a good idea. Just slow down, kill the stuff they're throwing at you, because you're going to just keep padding that time right back if they're like sending you 50 Goombas at a time. I'm really liking it. I like it a lot, but I really love Super Mario Brothers.
I mean, I'll tell you what, it's working way better than this concept should, right? Like it's done really well. It's really snappy. Like you get into games like pretty quick. Like there's not a lot of like menuing to do and stuff like that. And you know, it feels exactly like Mario Brothers. It's super neat.
Yep, I agree.
This can't really be a game that's going to go away in a few months, right? Like, come on.
Yeah, my hope is they're just going to find some other way to brand it, because I think they're like, well, Super Mario 35, it's, you know, not going to be his 35th anniversary forever. We're going to have to change that.
Oh, whatever.
In my head, that's what I hope is happening. But
make it Super Mario 36 next year.
Jesus. Yeah, exactly. I do think that the 35 is probably the right amount of people, though. If it was 99, it would go too long.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Part of me almost wishes that, like, it could go by a little faster, because there's that part where when it's like the last 10 people, it starts to feel like you're desperately waiting for people to start dropping out.
Right. So my strategy there is to try to get to the 1-4 or any water stage, as long as I have firepower. Because if you send the bloopers to people, or if you send a Bowser, that tends to actually do a lot more damage. And I've had a lot of luck where it's just me and one other person, and I go to a water stage because, you know, you have the pipes and a lot of times you can choose, and you send the blooper over, and I could just watch on their little feed and see them like struggling with the blooper as they're trying to run through, you know, the tall mushroom stage or whatever.
I did feel pretty good the first time I had a Bowser sent to me, and it was on the tall mushroom stage, and I'm like on a low mushroom, he's on this high one shooting. I'm like, how the hell? And I was like, oh no, I got him. I feel I'm a smart lad.
Yeah, it's a good game. I'm glad they did it. All right. Crash Bandicoot 4.
Crash Bandicoot 4.
Mike, tell me why this game is just as bad as the old Crash games, and I don't have to worry about playing it.
Oh, no.
I could just skip it happily and not.
Have you never?
I don't have any time, Mike. I've never jived with it. I could tell that they're okay games. I just never jived with them. So. But I'm just a very busy person, so I'm glad that you're going to tell me right now that this is amazing. A bad game and I don't love play it.
It was so much fun. It's so good. I mean, part of it is, it is totally like those old games, though. So maybe it won't matter much to you.
Okay.
But, like, I like those games because, like, Crash Bandicoot, like, so Mario 64 was great because it, like, changed what a platform game could be by being this big open thing. Crash Bandicoot is, like, much more of, like, what does a 2D platformer look like with some 3D elements in it, right? So it's very
corridor-based. Right, it's what I imagined Super Mario Brothers 4 was going to be on Nintendo 64, yes.
Right. So and it's that formula, which is great because part of the reason that Crash got bad, it's almost the same thing with Tony Hawk, right? They were like, we have to do something really big and different. So here's open world Crash Bandicoot, and here's Crash Bandicoot like God of War. It's an action brawler now, right? It's like, no, just like do something like the old games, but like with some new twists and some amazing art and presentation and just smart level design. Like, you know, so, you know, it is basically a simple platformer that's about jumping on things. You have these mask abilities that do some cool things. Like the one slows down time for a little bit. The one is like you flip up and down on the stage, stuff like that. That just adds a little bit of variety. There's a few extra characters you can play as. But man, the aesthetics are just so good. This game is so pretty. It runs really well on PlayStation 4 Pro too. Like the only thing that makes me think about like, oh, what's next gen going to do for this is load times, and that's it. And it wasn't a huge fault, but just super charming, just really good challenge. Like there were some sections that were hard, and I felt great about beating that. And it's, you know, it's like a lot of the good 3D platformers, especially if they have like a lot of collectibles. Like beating the game is like you feel good about that, but then there's so many things you can go back to and collect. Unlock all these costumes and stuff. It's also nice that it has like a modern mode and a retro mode. And the retro mode's like old Crash Bandicoot. You have like 3 lives to start out with. If you run out of lives, you game over. You have to start over. And modern mode's like, no, you have infinite lives, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, it's better. Right? It's just better to play like that. Like I realized that when I was playing Mario Sunshine and I was doing those levels where you don't have the water pack. And I like those levels. They're fun.
Same.
But you die a bit. And it's like every once, like every 3 times you die, it's like, oh, now you're back in Delfino Plaza. You got to jump through the hole again and run over to where that thing is. I'm like, why? Like, I already did this.
And so, we've stopped doing that in most games.
Yeah, Mario Odyssey doesn't do it. Like, I think most people know. I think like in some 2D, like Mega Man lives work there because there's like a whole resource management with E-Tanks and other things like that that gets kind of ruined if those are gone. Or you'd have to rework them, like how Mario reworked what coins mean. And how Crash Bandicoot reworks how Wampa Fruit means in Crash 4 with that. But, like, here, there's an option. If you, like, for some reason are this big, like, stout, like, classicist, and you're like, I know, I need to have lives, because that's what Crash Bandicoot was, darn it. You can. But they make it, like, very clear, like, this does not impact what trophies you get, what story content you see, like, what you unlock. It's the same thing. Like, you can play modern mode. It's they're not, like, they don't brand modern mode as an easy mode or anything like that. And that's super great.
Real quick on this, and then we'll go to Xbox. This is just on Xbox and PS4 right now?
Correct. Okay. You have to imagine it's going to come to Switch at some point.
Right. I was even wondering about PCs.
You would have to imagine that at some point.
I'm surprised it's not on Epic Game Store.
I'm surprised it's not on PC already. I know that, so the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy is on PC and Switch, so.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. So they'll probably get there eventually. Seems like it's going to do very well though, because people like that Crash remake, and it seems like the people are going to be
excited. Yeah. And this is just I like this more than those games even. This is like my new favorite Crash game. It's just very well done and it's very fun.
All right, Mike. I have to say I'm feeling less special now that other people are getting their Xbox Series X.
You were never special, so don't worry about it.
Okay. Thank you. That's what I was hoping you'd make me feel better, and you really you know what to say every time.
That's right.
Yeah, so I can't believe it was just this week, Monday, where I posted all of the coverage for that. It feels like forever ago. But yeah, just earlier this week, I was able to finally start talking about it. I guess, I'm still limited on what I could say, mostly focused on the stuff that I've talked about so far. But do you have any questions? I don't know. Do you anything you want to ask about it?
I mean, I've read all your stories and I've watched your video, which, was actually pretty good. So. I think I get it. Cause you don't have next gen games yet, and you seem pretty enthusiastic. I'm kind of curious what people have been asking you. So
let's hop right into them. Yeah. We got a lot here. And like you said, we'll just go until we run out of gas. Okay. So I'm just going to start here. I didn't put them in any specific order, but there's a few that kind of repeat. So I'll probably just skip those as I get to them. First one's from @EV445. How strong is the green light and can you control it? So people think that there's a light. I don't have the Xbox is upstairs. I don't have it here. It's not a light.
You mean that thing
so
on the top? It's just colors, right?
Yes, it's colors on the inside of the vent. Yeah, it's exactly. And it's like you can only see it when you look over, but it's like a really reflective green light. So it looks like green paint. So it looks like a light. But it's not a light. And so, no, you can't control it because it's an inanimate paint.
I guess you could paint over it if you wanted to, but...
Yeah, exactly. From Final Dasa, I need a fingerprint update. Have the prints gotten worse? Have you been eating greasy food, wings, delicious pizza? So
you're just always greasy.
I'm just always greasy, absolutely. But I have also been eating wings and delicious pizza. So, maybe those things are related. I'm not going to say whether or not. That's for you to decide. The fingerprints, they got to like immediately as soon as I took it out of the box, I got fingerprints on it. I handled it a little bit more and it just seemed like to get to this level where it's like, okay, the thing is now covered in fingerprints and it's not going to get any worse. And I set it down and I don't really notice it. I don't notice the fingerprints. I only notice when I'm actually specifically putting under light to take a picture of it or if the sun hits it in a very specific way. But most of the time I don't see it even in a well-lit room. So, I wouldn't be too worried about it.
This is a big deal for a lot of people. I didn't realize how much the finger pick.
Well, a lot of people are going to play it in handheld mode. They're going to play it in handheld mode. So I don't get it either. Yeah, that was a joke that someone gave me right away, and I'm like, I've been stealing it ever since. I wish I could remember who said it, but it's been making me laugh.
I've been a human for a while. I'm used to my fingerprints being on things.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think most people won't notice if it's a big deal. Wipe it off. Just wipe it off, and then don't touch it anymore. You'll be fine. From @LordBeef, any guesses as to what's going on Game Pass when the console launches on November 10th? I think they're probably going to just make a big deal about EA Play. They might have something else, but I wouldn't.
I don't even think what else could it be. I don't know. I mean, we always thought that there would be some big game that they would get. I mean, when is all the Bethesda stuff on there? Has that already happened?
No, the Doom Eternal is on there, but no, most of the Bethesda stuff is still not on there.
So maybe they can line that up.
Right. And I think they've added a lot, but I think if they're going to make a big splash for something, it's probably going to be a few weeks afterward, because there's going to be a lot of 2-week free trials and stuff. And I think they're going to want to give people reason to actually put the money down and continue with their payment, monthly after that. So, I wouldn't expect too much more on November 10th itself. From @Imran, oh my God, it's Imran Khan. How many could you lift at once before you buckled? So I've been thinking about this.
Wow.
And
you're very weak.
First of all, we have to consider that I am incredibly weak. And they're about 10 pounds. An Xbox Series X is about 10 pounds. And I'm assuming since we're talking about buckled, we're talking about my muscles giving out and not I've fumbled and I can't hold them anymore. So I have
Yeah,
I have some way of holding them securely, right? Yeah,
what the I'm word kidding. Being?
Why would I even think about that? Yeah. So my guess is like maybe like at least like 20. That's like 200 pounds, right? I think anything 20? Above that.
How strong do you 20?
20. I could be 200 pounds. I think I could get
200,
yes.
200 pounds of uneven weight segmented into 20 parts that you have
I'm
to balance.
Like, no. I'm not saying like if I have to balance them, no, like five maybe. If I don't have to balance them though, if there's some way where I can like rig myself
you think
up
you could be in
that,
a bowl?
Yeah, like
you cannot pick up a 200 pound bowl. You can bench one when you're laying on your back.
I could pick up a 200 pound bowl. I'm a dad. I have dad strength. Oh, you God. Have to realize that. Oh, I'm all day. I'm just lifting up things.
I'm gonna find some way for you to try to deadlift 200 pounds and comfortably hold it. See,
I'm not comfortable. I'm going to buckle. Yes, but like I'm not like
cool means.
Yeah. My back and my muscles will give out, and I will be destroyed. But I'll be able to do it. All right. Thank you, Imran, for that very insightful question.
Move on. Dud.
From @randomdonut, where is the fan, or what direction does the hot air from cooling exit it? And does it get loud when running from more demanding games? It doesn't get loud. It just doesn't. I've tried. It doesn't get loud. It's just always quiet. I guess I haven't run next gen games on it yet, so I'll have to see. But it doesn't get loud.
Hard to imagine that's going to make too much of a difference, but who knows?
Right. I think so. Where's the fan? The fan is, I think it's kind of right underneath that vent, and it draws all the air up and shoots it out of the top if you have it vertical. And then, of course, you put it on its side out the side there. There's another question. I'm not going to find it, but someone asks, like, how much room do you have to have for that vent to let the air out? Turns out you can have zero, because there is another slot on the back at the top where if you were to put something like a piece of paper on top of the Xbox and it like blocked that vent, the air would begin blowing out that back slot. Like, you know, on a sink where it has that little thing where it starts to overflow it's like that. Yeah. So it's pretty smart design. I think you're not going to have to worry too much about how you place it, put it in your system, however it's going to work. And then see if it starts having issues, then maybe you'll have to move it, but I don't think it's going to be too much of a problem. All right. So, from @DanielCVorVTR, a bunch of letters, kind of related to HDMI 2.1. If you plug Series X into a TV with 4K and 120 hertz, but without HDMI 2.1, do you lose resolution or frame rate? And can you choose which one you lose? So in regards to playing backward compatible games, because that's all I'm allowed to speak to, and that's all I've done. But it's going to work a lot like the Xbox One X did. Now, I know that's not HDMI 2.1, but you always had the option. And if you plugged in a 2.0B HDMI port into your TV, you could have 4K 60 frames per second, or if, like on the Samsung TV that I use, or 1440 at 120 hertz, or 1080p at 120 hertz. And it gave you the option to choose that stuff. And so if you plug it into a 2.0 TV, and you've always had those options, you're going to continue to have those options. It's not going to change. And it's not going to change on like a game by game basis. It's going to happen at the system level. From @PrashLovesGames, does the Series X preview units come with apps like YouTube, Amazon, Netflix? How fast can you load into these apps? You know, we're probably not allowed to talk about them, but it's like, I haven't been able to use them. They don't work yet. So
is there like an app store you can access on there?
I mean, it's the same thing as the Microsoft thing, right? Where the same as the Xbox One. It's like, you know, you would get Netflix for your Xbox. It's the same thing. It's just none of that stuff is compatible with the Xbox Series X yet. So, or if it is, I haven't found the ones that are. And so I'm not allowed to test them yet, or I'm not allowed to talk about them yet. So I haven't even tried to test them. But I guess as we get closer to launch, maybe I'll be able to talk about that. And at that time, I'll come back and let you know. From @JakeRandall YouTube, or JakeRandall YT. Honestly, I'm really interested in the backwards compatibility, specifically compared to the Xbox One. Does it have more or less games? Do they look and play better than they do on the One X? Also, how do regular Xbox One games play? That's what I'm interested in the most. So just across the board, from what I've tested, games run better on the Xbox Series X by far. In terms of support, it seems like if they were supported on Xbox One, they will eventually work here. For me, I have a limited list of games that work. Not everything. I've tried a bunch that I had on a hard drive and I plugged it in, and most weren't working. And I think a lot of that just comes down to getting the approval from Microsoft, like Microsoft putting them on the whitelist. Not a matter of like, oh, they're not going to work at launch. Because when I asked about it, Microsoft was like, oh, you have a game that you really want to try, let us know. And we'll see if we can get it to the front of the queue to get it in there. So, but when I have tested the games, it's been like, man, this game is running incredible.
Should have told them Knack 2 just to see what they'd say.
Yeah, can you get Knack 2? Yeah, next time I get a chance to talk to him, Mike. Yeah, that'd be, you know what? Who knows? They might pull it off. Who knows, Mike? I mean, honestly, if they did that, that's generation over. They just won right there. So. But yeah, every game's running incredible. I was testing Hitman 2, which already runs pretty well on the 1X, but it was like 60 frames per second in the high resolution mode. And I'm like, man, I'm just gonna keep playing this game because it feels so good.
That's actually something because I'm still actually just at the last mission of Hitman 1. I got distracted and didn't beat it. So like, that's something I'm looking forward to do is just beat that and then play Hitman 2 on my Series X.
I think it's a perfect game where it's like you got this new hardware. You have like maybe some time during the holidays where it's like, okay, I'm gonna go back and get my backlog. Mm-hmm. That is a perfect game to just like knock out then.
I also just like I never played Shadows of War, that Shadow of Mordor sequel, and like no one thinks that's a fantastic game, but I like Lord of the Rings. I like the first one fine. Play that now. Did you try Titanfall 2? Somebody asked that in chat, and I'm actually kind of curious now.
I did, and it wouldn't boot up. So that's one of my favorite.
That's the one you should bug them about.
Yeah. I'm going to bug them about that. See if I can get that added because there's some time between the next time I'm allowed to talk about like the next batch of things that are like under embargo, which I can't speak about the date. But I will continue to cover the stuff I am allowed to talk about, and that would be a nice game to like bring up.
Which one has been the biggest difference? And Gordon Downs asked this too, but I'm curious. I know just from what I saw, it seems like Final Fantasy 15 is like a really good particular showcase. I don't know if that's the one for you, if there's something that's even better.
So I think Final Fantasy 15 in particular was a good case because it ran really bad in its frame rate mode on both of the consoles, but especially on the Xbox One X. And so when you put it in light mode, which is its frame rate mode, it finally was like, oh, okay, now I have the power to actually give you those full 60 frames per second instead of bouncing between like 40 and 50 in a really ugly way.
Right.
So that is it. It's a big visual difference that everyone will notice right away. If you played Final Fantasy 15 on a console, you'll notice that. Sekiro was probably the biggest one for me, though. Mm. It was just so...
There's a game I haven't played. Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think people are going to be like... It makes it feel really good to go back to play these games. It's just a matter of fact that if you own a lot of these games already or you tried them or you got them on Game Pass or whatever, and you're like, this is cool. I like this. If you boot them up again on Xbox Series X, you are going to notice a difference. Everyone is going to notice the smoother frame rate. It just feels better overall. I'm really excited. Like I said, Hitman 2, I'm kind of playing through it again. Like as I get through some of this coverage, I'm going to start going back to some of these other games and do the same. Let's see. From M, how is the D-pad for Tetris hard drops and fighting game combos? And then there's some other questions I'll get to in a second. The D-pad is really good. I am really happy with the D-pad on this new controller. So it's got that circular look. It looks like the Elite one. I've tried some like fighting style games. I did like Streets of Rage 4 to see how the commands worked. And it worked really well with that stuff.
How dare you call it a fighting style game?
It has the quarter circle punch and stuff.
That reminds me of my mom was playing Call of Duty and asked if it was a fighting game. And I'm like, no, she's like, I'm fighting people.
Not a fighting game. I'm never going to call it a fighting game. All right.
You sound like a mom is what I'm saying. Oh, you sound like a loser.
I just need to beat my game tapes, Michael. gotta rewind these. But the D-pad's excellent. I actually have a video on that. If you are asking me that and you're listening right now, and I have a story, go to gamesby.com. You'll find the story in the video there. So if you want to like see me talk about the D-pad.
You're particularly excited about the weight distribution of the controller.
Ooh, it feels so good.
Distribute that weight.
Yes, for real.
Like, distributed.
Like, it makes me mad at this stupid old Xbox One controller, which I liked actually.
Garbage.
But it's like you pick it up, it feels like so hollow in the handle. Like, throw this thing in the garbage.
Door stopper, bludgeoning weapon. Get it out of here.
Just throw it out of your house.
It's an awful bludgeoning weapon. The weight is so poorly distributed. Yeah, exactly.
No, you're right. I would never use this to kill a person. Yeah.
You still need the Duke for that.
Yeah, exactly. That's
I wonder how many people have been killed by a Duke.
I know. I wonder the same thing about the PlayStation 5. Because that PlayStation 5 is so heavy and it's got kind of angles. Some people are going to... People, yeah, it, never mind.
Gonna kill somebody. Oh, let's not get morbid now.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. All right. I'm losing my place on some of these questions. There's a lot of them. I'll just kind of see what sticks out to me. Have you tried any OG Xbox back-to-back games like Black? I've tried a few. I have the list. I'm just lazy, so I don't check the list before I download games. But I downloaded Ninja Gaiden, and that didn't work.
Ninja Gaiden seems like... I know my brother will be curious about Crimson Skies, so...
Yes, I'll try Crimson Skies. If it's not on the list, I'll ask them about that. There's a lot of games people have asked a lot about, and Crimson Skies is one of them.
You think they'll ever bring back Crimson Skies? You think they care?
They should, right? Why not? Just do it, yeah.
I mean, Microsoft Flight Simulator is so popular. Like, Crimson Skies is, like, a franchise that can kind of turn that into more of, like, a quote-unquote game sort of a thing in some way. I don't know.
From at Mr. Bandito 35, is there a monitor out there that will be able to take advantage of everything it can offer? HDMI 2.1, high refresh rates, having a hard time finding one. So those are just coming out. Asus has their new like ROG one that's like $1,000, and it's got HDMI 2.1, does 4K 120 hertz with HDR. Excuse me. I imagine like I have an older Asus ROG Predator monitor. Excuse me. This is an Acer, but it's similar, and it works really well for like 4K 60 gaming. I imagine that these new panels are going to be good for 4K 120 HDMI 2.1, but I would like just wait and see what the reviews say. Wait and see what the professionals say once they try them out. And if you really want to have an HDMI 2.1 gaming experience, and honestly, it's not that much more expensive. Get one of those LG OLEDs and put that in your office and use that, because those are going to be pretty close to just as good as a PC monitor now, given that they have like a 4x4x4 color space, like chromatic aberration thing, where even text looks really good on those screens. So don't be precious about getting a monitor instead of one of those TVs. Those TVs would be just as good.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you tried Fallout 76?
Yeah, so I've tried Fallout 76. It's actually the first game I tried.
That's an interesting choice.
Yeah, I know. It's one from the list that I remembered, and so I'm like, I'll just download that. It runs at 30 frames per second locked, but it's a consistent 30 frames per second.
Yeah, that's still an improvement, I guess. It's
an improvement.
It seems like that you would hope that would run at 60 frames, but
that point, it's going to take a developer update. That's one of the things you got to keep in mind is like
hardware doesn't solve the very problem.
Right, yeah, the hardware is going to be more powerful. It would enable this game probably to run at 60 frames per second, but a lot of games get locked at 30, so that developers can be like, well, we just want a consistent frame rate, and that game didn't have one, so that's why this is still an improvement. But a lot of games did have a consistent 30, and so they just locked it at that and then walked away. To get the full advantage of this new hardware, developers will have to go in and update it and enable that. Now, I think there is some talk of Microsoft saying, hey, we can unlock your frame rates on a system level, do some like frame doubling in some weird way. We might do that, and I'm hopeful, but you know, that's just like one possible feature that might happen in the future.
Isn't that just like sports mode on the TVs, just doubling frames? Doesn't that look weird?
Yes. So no, I hopefully it's not like that. Cause that is really bad for gaming. If you have that on for gaming, that's you will get jittery stuff and it'll look really bad. You'll probably get a little like motion sick too, if you have that on. Cause it's not meant for gaming. I tried it once and made me like woozy. But yeah, hopefully, I'm pretty sure Microsoft's technology would work different. I think it would be unlocking the frame rate within the hardware somehow.
For a second, they're complimenting your hair, so I have to type about how you're ugly and I'm beautiful.
I'm gonna let my locks down while you're doing that. Yeah. When you boot up a game on the Xbox Series X, do you have a choice on performance, like 1080, 4K, HDR, non-HDR, 30?
Game by game, probably, right?
So it's going to, like, game by game. But also, like, you do have, like, what your Xbox outputs, that's in the system settings. But your games, a lot of times, even if you have your TV set to 1080, 60 or something, the games are still going to, a lot of times, output at 4K. And you'll have to go into the game settings and change that. So game by game. Nothing pops up when you open it, except for maybe the HDR stuff sometimes. That sometimes when you put in a game, HDR comes up. But HDR is now also set at a system level because Xbox has that automatic HDR that applies to old games that never had HDR in the first place, which works really well, surprisingly. I'll have a video and a story on that early next week. But because of that, none of those games have HDR like settings in their menus. So you set the HDR on the system level, and then you'll want to go in and set the brightness in those games to default and not mess with that. So just keep that in mind. Again, I'll have more on that in the story when I write it. All right, Mike, maybe like one or two more questions and then get out of
Sounds good.
All right.
I'm shocked I don't have to go to the bathroom yet.
Yeah, I mean, we'll give it time. I'm sure in the next 30, 60 seconds, we'll see. Is it true that there won't be enough Xbox Series X's out there for everyone during the first months? That's from at JM Pantheon. Yes, I'm pretty sure that in the first couple of months, it's probably going to be pretty hard to get either one of these systems.
Right, because I mean, November's launch month, then you have Christmas, so that's going to be difficult. I imagine once it becomes 2021, things should get a little easier.
I think that sounds exactly right. So if you're really dead set on getting one, try to track one down starting right now. But if you feel like, oh man, I'm not sure if I want to go through the stress of trying to get one, that sounds bad. Just wait. You're not gonna miss much. It's a couple months. You'll be fine. All right.
One more.
Trying to find a good one. Okay. Yeah. From Gal Chu. They told me how to say their name. They got my DMs. So from Galchu, I'm probably still butchering it, actually. When the Series X was announced, there were some first-party games we would take for granted as launch lineup. I'm talking about Gears Tactics, Minecraft with ray tracing, and Flight Simulator. What happened with the last two? Yeah, I haven't heard about Flight Simulator or Minecraft with ray tracing for the Xbox Series X in quite a long time, so that's a good point. Minecraft Live, is that the I think that event is happening this weekend. I would keep an eye out.
It's happening tomorrow. Yeah.
And I'm like, I think
I won't be watching it.
I haven't looked at it yet, so I'm not speaking about anything.
That's gosh, that's why Nintendo has a thing at 3 p.m. to talk about Minecraft Steve. It's when the Minecraft thing's happening. Ha. Mystery solved.
I didn't put that together either. Okay. Yeah. So let's wait and see if something happens at this Minecraft event for that one.
I've always wanted to say this. Golf Dad, thank you for subscribing.
Golf Dad, with the super chat, $2. Okay, thanks. I subscribe to the podcast. I appreciate that, Golf Dad. Yeah. I'm going to make that one of our stingers. Just, Golf Dad, thank you for subscribing. And then Flight Simulator, I imagine we'll hear more about Flight Simulator soon, but also that team is pretty busy doing updates on the PC. So
right. I mean, that thing is taxing even pretty strong PCs. So
right.
Probably not a very
right. They're probably working on optimizations. They're probably trying to get it like running really good on more PC hardware, and that will make the effort of moving it to console much more realistic. So yeah. Okay. I think, you know, there's some other questions here, but most of it's stuff either I can't talk about it yet or stuff I covered in some of my other stuff. So if you're interested, go to gamesbeat.com, check out all my stuff there. You'll find probably the answer to your question if you're really interested. Great. And your dog's upset. So let's get out of here, Mike. Tell people where they can find you on the internet.
Find me on Twitter at Tolkoto, TOLKOTO. And check out my 90s Disney podcast, 90s Disney, at 90sDisney.com. Our new episode just went out about the California Grill, one of the better known restaurants in the Walt Disney World Resort. So you can learn all about sushi and filet mignons and falling banana souffles and goat cheese raviolis.
While rebuilding this PC, to take out the PSU, I listened to it. I'm like, God damn it, this is making me hungry. So,
how is your PC? Is it better now?
Much better. It was the PSU. It was the power supply. It was just that I knew it was the power supply. It's just that's the biggest pain in the ass to take out.
Yep.
So I'm like hoping it was everything else. But yeah, it hasn't crashed since. And I'm sure now that I've said that, it's going to crash right now. So you told people where to find your other podcast. Anything else, Mike, or should I go?
You go. Your turn.
Okay. I'm Jeff Grubb on Twitter. I'm also Jeff Grubb on Twitch, which I don't have time to do right now, but maybe one day. YouTube.com/Jeffrey Grubb/live is where we broadcast this podcast every Friday around 1 p.m. Pacific time, 4 p.m. Eastern. But you can also find the video like archive there. And if you're watching on YouTube, if you're the one people watching live, thanks for watching along with us today. We really appreciate that. If you want to subscribe to this, like Golf Dad did, it's available on any podcast.
Everyone
platform.
Be more like Golf Dad.
That's what I always say. Be more like Golf Dad. Thanks everyone for the super chats as well. We're going to get out of here. Thank you for listening. Until next time, have a good one. Take care of yourself and goodbye.
Bye, everyone.